the king, who knew his orates, with his show, do we got a long way by your mind, who fall high all the messes our orates. Multiply and replenish the earth and conquer the earth and have to exercise dominion over the fish in the sea, over the fowl in the sky, and over every animal that creeps on earth. What is it? Keep sure. Kibush. How is a human being entitled to exercise kibush? Without a license from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kibush, every kibush, would be considered brute force. What right has a human being to resort to kibush? Except for the fact that Almighty God granted the license to men to exercise kibush. If not for this explicit license, no human being would have the right to touch a fish in the sea, a vegetable that grows on earth, only because of the license that was explicitly granted by Almighty God. But of course, this license that was granted by Almighty God of exercising dominion, of conquering the earth and all its possessions, only applies to a kibush that is backed by a madikum of right, not good kibush. But there is a license to exercise kibush. Kibush backed by right. But then we have the second gift that was bestowed by Almighty God upon man. The gift, the noble gift, and the most noble gift of Chazaka. Vayikach Adishem Elikim Esorodom Vayanecheu Ligaliten Leobdo Lishomro. Almighty God took man and put him in paradise to cultivate it and to guard it. What does that represent? That's not the gift. That's not the license. Kibush I wouldn't call gift. I would call license. But this is a gift. Chazok. Chazok. The Medrash Darshmis, Medrash Rabbeisa Aglili says, and the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, I think, mentions it in one of the Shoroshim, Le'obdo zutfilo u'nishomro zutor. But the Medrash Rabbeisa Aglili is not negating the Kiddush HaMikvah. Because the Medresh Rabbi Yisrael really only supplements the Pshutish HaMikvah. Both, Iluvei Uvivotim Chayim, both are implicit in the signification of the expression Le'ovdo L'shomro. The Pshutish HaMikvah is implicit. The Pshutish HaMikvah is Le'ovdo, to cultivate it, playing physical chazokeh, chazokeh that consists of constant work, effort, painstaking labor, Ulishomro, guarding it incessantly. So that's the source for the Tinyan Chazokeh. The Tinyan Chazokeh that is applicable not only to Jews, but even to Meneach, that's the Aloche. A Meneach can also become a character from Chazokeh. Where is it mentioned? It's mentioned in this passage of Leobdo Ulishomro. And the other pshat of Leobdo Ulishomro, which Leobdo Zutrilo, Lishomro Zutoro, that spiritual title, in order to be so kedushe, to acquire a spiritual title over a piece of land, in order to acquire spiritual dimensions. So we have to engage in tefillah, we have to engage in Torah. You couldn't realize kedushe without tefillah and Torah, it's impossible. So that's the source for the concept, the halachic concept of Chazoke as a source of the acquisition of material dimensions, and Chazoke as a source of the acquisition of spiritual dimensions. Now, the broche of kibush is not mentioned in connection with Gan Eden, because for kibush, even if the kibush is backed by the highest concepts of right, all that you could attain is to maintain a modicum of morality in the world. But through kibush, you couldn't convert this earth into a veritable paradise. Impossible. But in connection with the paradise, in connection with the Eden, so the Rebbeinu Shalom did not mention the broche of kibush, because the earth could be rehabilitated, it could be beautified for kibush, but it could not be converted into a paradise for kibush. If the earth can be converted into a paradise only and exclusively for her. That's why in connection with Gan Eden, so the Torah says, Vayikach HaDishem Elikim Es HaOdom Ayelichimu B'Gan Eden Le'obdo U'lishu. Now of course, the Umis Eilom have a chelek in the Matone of Kibush, not only in the Matone of Kibush by Jews, but in the Matone, not only in Matone of Kibush of Chutz Loretz, but even the Matone of Kibush vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael. One could think that why should the Goy, who is not in the synagogue of Avraham Avinu, and who does not have any chelek in the heritage of Eretz Yisrael, Murzekes Biodeinu Ma'aviseinu, why should he have any rights in Eretz Yisrael? But the halacha declares the contrary. Omar Rabbe, Afal Pi, Shein Kiyem B'yad Akum, Latkiya Midi Tumis U'Maisres B'Eretz Yisrael, Yeish Kiyem B'yad Akum, Lachpir B'Beirei Sichin U'Maisres. You hear? I mean, how could anyone say that Chazal discriminated against Goyim? When the Chazal say, Afal Pi, Shein Kiyem B'yad Akum, Latkiya Midi Tumis U'Maisres, Shenema Kiri O'Oretz, Lidushas O'Oretz, Yish kiyem b'yadaku, lachta b'beir esichin u'mayres. In other words, a goy, if he buys a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, so he's allowed to do whatever he wants with that piece of land. If he wants to dig b'beir esichin u'mayres in a piece of land, he can do so. He has a kiyin aguf in Eretz Yisrael. But how can he have a kiyin aguf? After all, Eretz Yisrael, b'zeches v'adinu me'aviseinu, it was given to Avraham Avinu. And through Avraham Avinu to his children. Now, a goy in Dumas Eilom, they are not descendants of Avraham Avinu. They didn't inherit Eretz Yisrael from the Oves. So he belongs to us! What right does a goy have to acquire a kiyin aguf in Eretz Yisrael and to dig beir esichin u'mayres? Do whatever he wants! Shenema, there is a pasuk. It's not a question of convenience. Chazal said, they only interpreted the Torah the way the Torah was given, the way the Torah was revealed. They didn't change, they didn't reduce, and they didn't add. But the Torah says, Hashomayim shomayim vadishem, the Torah mosam nivleim, even pagans. So yesh kiyem biyadaku, lach biyavei, biyavei sikh numayim. So we see that the kiyem of kibush applies to all men, Jews, non-Jews, pagans, even vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael, which is Muzeket Yireinu Ma'aviseinu, so still an Akum has a kinyan aguf, lach b'vei b'vei sichel mayas. So the moker for this broche and this license is the posik of Pru, Vu, Umilu, Esaores, Vichifshu, Udu, Bigas, Hayom, Uvich, Hashamayim, Uvchol, Chayim, Od, Nesarot. Then, the Mokeya for Chazoke, that's the other person. Or, by Yalchiyu, Bigal, Eden, Le, Ovdo, Unisham. Now, Jews are entitled to take advantage of the broche of Kibush, as long as the Kibush is backed by the highest concepts of right, and of course, the Jew is entitled and needs to be loaded if he takes advantage of the gift of Chazon. But there is one shaved in Israel who were told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they are not to take advantage of the license of Kibush, only of Chazon. That was shaved for me. Shaved for me, so as the Rambam says, the their task is to convert the earth into a veritable paradise by resorting constantly and exclusively to the gift of Chazoke, no Kibush. Other Jews, yes.
but gave it my name.
He was elevated above the other Shvatim. Their task is to take advantage of the bracha and the gift of Chazokeh, not Kiddush. Shevet Levi cannot take the favor not in Eretz Yisrael. Even though it was acquired through the most noble type of kibush. Kibush that was al-pi adibur. Kibush that was backed by Omitumim and Gnobi and Sanhedrin Deo. Still, Shevet Levi was not allowed even to benefit from kibush. Because, as the Rambam calls the Shevet Levi, Chil Hashem, V'lomo Hupduru Shevet Levi, Mikol Shor Shikir Yisrael, Mipnei Sheheim Eidim Lichli Hashem, Upoku Me'aleim Ulu Chashbeni Sarabim. But any other person, one who is not a member of Shevet Levi, he has a right to take advantage of the gift of kibush, the bracha of kibush, the license of kibush. Only Shevet Levi cannot exploit the matone of kibush, only Chazokeh. However, the distinction between Shevet Levi and Shor Shiftei Yisrael is only vis-a-vis men. So vis-a-vis men, we say that only Shevet Levi cannot exploit the gift of kibush, only the gift of Chazokeh. But other men, those who are not members of the Shevet Levi, they are entitled to partake of kibush and to exploit kibush. Vis-a-vis women, and this is the gist of the concept of Kokroido Bas Melach Nimo. Kokroido Bas Melach Nimo does not mean that a woman has to stay home. There is no such thing, no such concept. There is no such concept. No one has such a concept. No one ever had such a concept. And no one, no sensible Orthodox Jew has such a concept today. That Kokroido Bas Melach Nimo implies that a woman has to stay constantly at home. No. But Kokroido Bas Melach Nimo implies that women are not to exploit the method of kibush. Women are to devote themselves exclusively to Chazokeh. In regard to men, so only Shevet Levi is to exploit and to dedicate itself to Chazokeh exclusively. But in regard to women, whether they are descendants of Shevet Levi or descendants of Shevet Yisrochar or Zvul or Dolan, it doesn't make any difference. All women, all Jewish women, are to dedicate themselves exclusively to the concept of Chazokeh. No kibush. And Chazal say so in many places. In regard to the broche of kibush, by Borech Yisom Elikim, by Yim Elohem, Elikim, Pru, Uvu, Umbiru Esohorez, Vichifshuo, Uvudu Vigas Hayom, Uvei Hashomayim, Uvchol Chayo, Remeses Alohorez, Vichifshuo, Ish Da'akil Yobesh, Vei Nisho Da'akil Yobesh. There is no Vichifshuo vis-a-vis women. There is Vichifshuo vis-a-vis men. Not vis-a-vis women. In other words, the Torah, the Halacha, elevated women on the same level as it elevated Shevet Levi. Just as Shevet Levi was told not to exploit the method of kibush to dedicate itself exclusively to Chazokeh, so women were told, called Kokroido Bas Melach Nimo. And Nimo means not to go out and to conquer, but to dedicate oneself exclusively to Chazokeh, to Yokdo Rishon. And what was Yaakov's, to what did Yaakov Avinu dedicate himself? Ishtam, Yeshiv Ol. Now, there is a common conception among Jews that Tam is a derogatory word. Many people say that the Tam, when they say Tam, they mean someone who is semi-retarded or completely stupid. No, Tam is not a derogatory expression. Tam means sholei, a person without any inconsistencies. Tomim Tim Hashemot Yaakov is a very high madrigal. Yaakov Avinu was a Tam. Yaakov Avinu was certainly very smart. He was Italian. He was a native Orient. Jacopo Pino dedicated himself to the test of Colloquendo Primo. He was not a woman. He was a man. But Jacopo Pino was like King Clevi. He was the king model. In those days, he was little the Levi. Levi took over his role. So he was a Yeshiv Olim. And the Sfuna says, why does the Torah say Yeshiv Olim? The Rosh Rabbim, the full sense, not Yeshiv Eyal. He said, because Yaakov Avinu did not content himself with staying in his own pen. Yaakov Avinu tried to be Mashpia of another Olim. He penetrated into everybody's tent. He didn't stay in his house. Esau was an Ishsane. He was an Ishkibush. Esau was an Ishkibush. He dedicated himself to the type of kibush that is not backed by concept of right. But Yaakov Avinu did not want even to dedicate himself to a kibush that is backed by the highest concept of right. He dedicated himself to the concept of chazokeh, of bestowing dushe, of penetrating into all other olim, of being mashpia, bestowing dushe, upon land, upon people. That's why it says, Yeshiv Olim, Kolkredo Basmelach Primo does not mean that a woman has to stay at home in the kitchen. Kolkredo Basmelach Primo means that she has to do her work indoors. She has to dedicate herself to the task of bestowing Dushe upon people, not upon land, but Dushe upon people. Le'ovdo l'shomro, le'ovdo, in the sense of Dushe, of spiritual dimensions. And because of that, the halacha, the Torah declares that noshim apsulis ladies, as I mentioned before, the halacha that noshim apsulis ladies is not based upon lack of credibility, because if it had been based upon lack of credibility of women relative to men, then even in Isurim they should have no nemones. And the halacha is that in Isurim, according to most Rishonim and the way we pass them, there is no distinction whatsoever between a man and a woman in regard to Isurim. That means that women have the same credibility as men. There is one sheet in the Mir in Psochim, in the Shia I discussed it, I'm not going to repeat it now, but take too much time. So according to him, so women have even more credibility than men in Isurim. But Noshim Matsulis Laides in the Mamanes in the Moshes. Because if Noshim would be Kosher Laides, so then Noshim would have to participate in the kibush life of the people. Then they would have to testify against a certain person who committed the crime. They would have to do so many undesirable things. They would have to be involved in the conviction of a person. The conviction of a person is al pi Sanhedrin. It's in accordance with the highest concepts of right. But Noshim Kolkredo Basmelach Nimo, their task is to be dedicated to the concept of chazokah, of le'ovdo l'shamro, not revolution, but evolution, spiritual evolution. And because of that, the Torah declared that Noshim Apsulis Ladies, if they would be kosher ladies, so then they would have to be part and parcel of the whole kibush cycle of the people. And the Torah does not want that women should be involved in the kibush cycle of the people, only in the chazokah cycle of the people, not in the kibush cycle of the people. Now many so-called Jewish leaders, men leaders, women leaders, so they base their allegation that Jewish halacha has a negative attitude towards the women on the basis of the broche of Shloi Sanhish. Shloi Sanhish. But, as I said before, Rabbi Tzela said that the broche of Shloi Sanhish certainly does not stem from a dislike towards women, as Rabbi Tzela said. Jews certainly do not have a negative attitude towards women, do not dislike women. So the whole motion of Shirashir, so the relationship between the Rebbeinu Shel Knesset Yisrael, the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and the Torah is like the relationship between the Chosen and the Kalach. So in other words, so the Isha is the metaphor for the Torah, for the Rebbeinu Shel, for the Knesset Yisrael.
So how could we say the Jewish tradition has a negative attitude toward the woman when the highest regard are expressed in Shir HaShirim in terms of the chosen color relationship? So the reason as to why the halacha requires every man to say the bracha shel sami isho is because we have to give gratitude unto Hashem for the fact that we were encompassed with more mitzvahs than we. But there is another shaila, and only one student, a girl, at Columbia University, asked that question for me. I mean, I spoke several times before collegiate groups, and only one girl raised that question. How is it that a woman, she didn't ask the question, how is it that men say the bracha shel sami isho? But she was an intelligent girl, she understood that shel sami isho does not stem from a negative attitude towards women. It is based upon the fact that men have more mitzvahs, so we have to give joy to the nature. But she asked another question. How is it that a woman say the bracha shel sami isho? And that's a better question, because that question was raised by a very renowned Rebbetzin Sonia, the Rebbetzin of Yerushalayim Diskin. She was ashamed of her in her days. And anyone who thinks that Kokrim Bas Melach Nimo means that a woman, that according to Orthodox Judaism, so Kokrim Bas Melach Nimo implies that the woman has to stand all day and all night in the kitchen and keep on cooking. So the Shabbos should take notice. So he or she, who has that erroneous impression, should take notice or should read up on the history of Orthodox Jewry in Yerushalayim and the Lomjel in Brisk and in Kovne, where Rabbi Shalim Diskin, her husband, one of the Dele Ador, if not the Godel Ador. My father said in the name of Chaim that Rabbi Shalim Diskin was the greatest goel in his generation. In other words, Chaim considered Rabbi Shalim Diskin as more of a halachic giant than his father Rabbi Seder. And Chaim had a very high evaluation of Rabbi Seder. Still, he said that the greatest giant of all the gedolim in that time, that was the time of Rabbi Seder, was Rabbi Shalim Diskin. So, and who played the most dominant role in the rabbonis of Rabbi Shalai Diskin? The Rebbetzin Sonia. Rebbetzin Sonia played a more dominant role in the rabbonis of Rabbi Shalai Diskin than Rabbi Shalai Diskin himself. And no one will deny that. Now, how is that consistent with the concept of Kokrido Bas Melach Pnimo, that a woman has to stand in the kitchen all day and all night? The answer is Kokrido Bas Melach Pnimo, according to Orthodox Judaism, does not imply that a woman has to stand in the kitchen. Kokrido Bas Melach Pnimo implies that a woman should not participate in the Kiddush cycle of the Jewish people. She should dedicate herself completely to the Chazokah side. And she did participate in the Chazokah side, in realizing Kedusha among Jews, in being Mashpia, and in warding off the influence, the evil influence of certain Machribim and Mehalsim. She played a very important role. So she asked, she once asked the question, she inquired it from her husband, Rabbi Shalit Diskin, why is it that a woman says Shalasam Jetzik? Now I don't know the real answer that Rabbi Shalit Diskin gave her. I don't know. I was told of a certain answer, but I don't believe that was the answer of Rabbi Shalit Diskin gave her. But I have another answer to this question. Why is it that Halacha requires that a woman should say every day, Shor Sami Tetzene? Now, Shor Sami Tetzene is not, as some people erroneously think, a broche in the aim of Bow Diamonds. But what is the real meaning and significance of Shor Sami Tetzene? The answer is, Shor Sami Tetzene, on the contrary, is expressive of the high status that the woman enjoys in the halacha. Now, many of the so-called Jewish leaders say that Halacha has an inferior, has a negative attitude towards them, that the woman in Nazarene Judaism has an inferior status. And they mention certain facts. I'll discuss the other facts too. But the truth is that according to the Torah, if you delve into the halachas of the Torah, so you'll see that not only that the halacha does not consider the woman inferior to man, but that the halacha considers the woman spiritually and intellectually superior to men. And if you think that I'm just trying to rationalize, so I'll mention you in Gemara Misachas Midah, what the Gemara says, that the reason as to why a girl becomes a Gdela at the age of 12, and the man and the boy becomes Bar Mitzvah at the age of 13, because Bino Noson HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beisho Yeisem Eish. And that's not just a philosophical remark. This is the basis of the halacha. That's the basis of the halacha of Gadlus, of Yudvei Shonim Gadlus in Anisho, and Yudgimu Shonim of Gadlus in Anish. Bino Nos Machkodesh Baruch Hu. Beisho Yeisem Eish. And those who looked into Tanya know what Bino means. Bino is not a low level. It's not a low rung in the ladder of moral and spiritual perfection. Bino represents the highest rung in the ladder of moral and spiritual and intellectual perfection. And still, the Gemara in Misachas Midah says, Bino nos rachodish bohu, beisho, yoisem beish. Yoisem beish. And that is the reason as to why our Chachamim required us to say, to require the women to say Shirosami Katzenim. Men says the broche Shirosami Isho. He has to give gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for encompassing him with so many more mitzvahs. A woman is not mechuyeves in Sefer Vayomer. A woman is not mechuyeves in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah of disobeying the law. She's mechuyeves to study all the dinim that are relevant to her. But that's all. She's not mechuyeves to delve into the depth of all the dinim, even dinim that are not relevant. A man is mechuyeves. But disobeying the law, liyomshi. Not to be misyadas, even for one moment. A woman is only required to be so much involved in Talmud Torah that it is necessary for her that she should know how to comply with the Torah. If she doesn't learn Torah, how can she comply? There is plenty to learn in order to be able to be tied. So why does the woman say Shosani Katzenei? The answer will be found in the reason as to why the Torah absolved women, exempted women from Mitzvah Shazman Kone and from the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam encompassed men with many more mitzvahs than women. Not because a woman has an inferior status than a man. We couldn't say that. Bino, I mentioned, the Gemara Misachas Midah, Bino Nos Makodesh Bol Hu Beisho Yeisem Eish. And that concept that a woman is spiritually and morally superior to men can be deduced from a superficial analysis of the order of creation. When one takes a mere cursory glance in Genesis of the order of creation, so we'll see that, as Chazal point out in Pirkei Avos, Basor Mamois Nivayim. So as the Ramban points it out in his Peirush in the Hakdome, in his Peirush on Chumash in Bereshis, that Basor Mamois Nivayim, so but only the first minor, the first substance that was created, the Maimar Rishon, was created Yesh V'Ayin. But the other Mamorim represent Yesh V'Yesh. Now, so only the first Maimar, the first act of creation, was Yesh V'Ayin. What was it? According to the Morin Chagigah, physical entity, more fundamental than anything else, photons, than the unit, the light unit, And the Lord of Judea says the same thing, that the first thing that was the first act of creation represented the creation of light, of photons. That was Yeshayahu. Photons were created Yeshayahu. But all the other Mamorim, Shebohem, Divrayim, were Yesh Liyesh. So if one just takes a cursory glance over the account given in Bereshis, so we'll see that whatever has a lower form of existence was created first. Now, energy has a lower form of existence than matter. So, light was the first thing that was created, according to the modern Sakashvili, according to the Torah. So, and then other forms of energy were created, yesh, yesh. So only light energy, photons, were created, yesh, yesh. And then came other forms of energy, and which represented higher forms of reality. And then after the energy was created, all forms of energy were created, so matter was created. But what kind of an order was there in the creation of matter? So first, the inorganic world was created, and then the organic world. And in the organic world itself, what was created first? The plant kingdom was created first, according to the account in Bereshis. And then, after the plant kingdom, so the animal kingdom was created. But in creating the animal kingdom, what came first? Whatever was lower came first. Whatever was higher came later. So first the insects, and then the fishes, and then the reptiles, and the fowls, and the mammals, and then man was created. The human being was created. Why was the human being created after photons and after all the other forms of energy and after the inorganic world and after the plants and the insects and the fishes and the reptiles and the fowls and the mammals? Why? Because whatever represents a higher form of reality came later. But in the creation of the human race, what was created first? Man or woman? Man was created first, and then the woman. What is this? What does this lead us to? What conclusion does this lead us? It leads us to the inescapable conclusion that according to the Torah, so a woman is spiritually superior to man. So she had to be created after man. Man was created from the dust of the earth, from the mundane earth, but the woman was created in paradise. And because the woman was created in paradise, after man, so to her, the Ribbono di Shalom delegated the mandate of Chazokeh, not Kibush, Le'ovdo Lishomro, Kol Kredo Bas Melech Nimo, not Nimo only to Nimo of her own kitchen, but Nimo of somebody else's kitchen. Not Nimo of our own bedroom, but Nimo of somebody else's bedroom. Not Nimo of our own dining room, but Nimo of everybody else's dining room. To be Mashpia Bistob Dusha upon everybody. That's the meaning of Kol Kredo Bas Melech Nimo, Le'ovdo Lishomro, Le'ovdo Zutvilo, Ulishomro Zutoro. What is Ulishomro Zutoro? Lishomro Zutoro means to arrange the pattern of the world so that it will conform to the pattern of the Torah. That's the pshat of Le'ovdo Lishomro, Le'ovdo Zutvilo, Ulishomro Zutoro. Now, so the Torah exempted women from the Sesesh Asman Kohen. He did not exempt men. Why? Because men and women were created differently. No matter how liberal a person will try to be, and no matter how liberal a woman will try to be, and no matter how liberal a man will try to be, so a man will never manage to give birth to a baby. And the woman can, because the baby shall be created biologically, physiologically, the men and women differently. It's not a question of inequality. They are different. They are equal. And to a certain extent, they are superior. They are spiritually superior. Bino was not a Bohu. Bino Beish. Beish or Yisam Beish. But they are different. Biologically, physiologically, they are different. And not only that, did Ribbono Shel Olam mold the psyche of men and the psyche of women different? It's a different emotional makeup.
So, if anyone is dissatisfied with the different emotional makeup of the woman versus the man, so he has to direct his complaint against the provincial. Not against the halacha. It's not the halacha's fault. But, of course, the halacha is declaratory of the mitzvahs, because the same creator who created the world gave us the Torah. That's why the halacha declares certain halachas in respect to women which are different than the halachas declared in respect to men. Not because they're not equal, because men and women are different. Now, the Ribbono Shel Olam molded the psyche and the emotional makeup of the man in such a way that man is naturally disposed towards him. There is a Yetzer Leiva Adam Ramino of the man, much more than the woman. The woman, on the contrary, her emotional makeup was molded by a Kodesh in such a way that she is innately disposed towards compassion, towards sympathy, towards consideration. Now, Loshen HaKidesh, the Rambam says in the Bukhin, why is it called Loshen HaKidesh? Because the derivation of the words in the Hebrew language have a sacred out. And I can see that. I can see that. Now, the word Rachmones, which means sympathy, compassion, and the word Rechem, which means womb of a woman. Now, in English or in any other language, I'm not talking many languages, but I suppose that in every language other than Hebrew, the Loshen HaKidesh, so there is no connection between the word that denotes the womb and the word that denotes compassion. But the Loshen HaKidesh, Rachmones and Rechem, two separate things. Rachem has reference to the womb of the woman. And Rachmonus has reference to sympathy, compassion, pity. But they have the same origin. Why? Because Rachmones is typical of the woman. A woman is naturally disposed towards compassion, towards sympathy. Men, there are certain men who are born Shulchan Aruch, I mean, whom the Rambam calls Chosidam Mimule, who are naturally, from birth, they are disposed towards good. Yosef was a Chosidam Mimule. So Yaakov Avinu, in his broche to Yosef, so he characterized Yosef as a Chosidam Mimule, as one who came out as a saint, who emerged from his mother's womb as a saint. He was naturally, innately disposed towards sympathy, towards compassion, towards that which is good. So Yaakov Avinu, in comparing his broche to Yosef, he said, "Mikel Avicha v'yazreko v'yishadai v'yivocheko b'chei shomayim yol b'chei steinu v'etzistochas b'chei shadai v'racham." In other words, he represented Yosef's personality, represented the blessing of the womb and the blessing of the breast. Why? Because Yosef, from childhood on, he was disposed towards that which was good and noble and fine. He had no conflict in him. Yehuda had conflicts. And Chazal said that Yehuda did tshuva. At first he committed certain wrongs when he said Ma betza kinarges ochilu. So Bitzei Aberech Lies Hashem, the Gemara Tzadon says, Kineged Yehuda Nema. But then when he said Tzotka Meneni, so he overpowered his own evil inclinations and became about tshuva. Yehuda was not a chosid Yehuda, he was a nation of Ruchen, but Yosef was a chosid Yehuda. So there are certain Yechidei Sgula men who are from the mother's womb, they emerge as saints, chosid Yehuda. But the average man is disposed towards evil inclinations, and he has to lead a conflict. And in order that he should be able to be on guard against all the spiritual evil forces that lie in ambush against him, so the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his infinite wisdom, took notice that he must encompass men with so many mitzvahs, especially mitzvah shazman gomer, because a man who is naturally disposed toward evil, men who naturally has an excess of physical energy, which if one will not channel it properly, so it will be abused and he won't be hurt. So he had to be encompassed with so many mitzvahs that are contingent upon time. Otherwise, men would want research to the lapse of time.
time itself is the biggest destroyer. Because of that, the Rebbeinu Shalom encompassed men who are naturally and innately disposed towards an unproductive release of their excessive energy by so many mitzvahs, Shazman Gomer, and also by the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, although these are the inner law, so that men's mind should constantly be engaged and absorbed in the learning of Torah. Otherwise, if men's mind will not be absorbed in the study of Torah, so it won't be served, because there is a law, nature abhors a vacuum. So that's a law, that physical nature abhors a vacuum. You could not have a natural vacuum in the world. You could produce an artificial vacuum, but there is no natural vacuum. Either a vessel is filled up with water, and if it's not filled up with a liquid, so it is filled up with air. Nature abhors a vacuum. Just as there is a principle that physical nature abhors a vacuum, so also there is an equally sound principle. Human nature abhors a vacuum. Chazal say in respect to the pasuk, Haboy rei keim b'mayim, mayim ein boy, avol nechoshim be'akravim yesh bein. Chazal herein intended to explain how was it possible that the brothers of Joseph did such a terrible thing. They cast their own brother into the pit. So the answer is because Haboy rei keim b'mayim, mayim ein b'yam nechoshim be'akravim yesh bein. Human nature abhors a vacuum. Either you constantly feed the human psyche, especially the male psyche, who is innately and naturally disposed towards an unproductive and abusive release of his excessive energy. Either you feed him constantly with the main, the mayon shoteo, with the mayim shoteo, a mayim melateo, either you inculcate into him spiritual and moral values, and if you don't inculcate into his heart and mind spiritual and moral values, if you don't constantly hammer into his mind more and more Torah, shodik sofek iture with the boy, if you are not sofek iture, then he will not remain in a vacuum. If my main bay, if you don't fill up the boy's mind and the boy's heart with the mayim shoteo, it will not remain in a vacuum. So then all kinds of spiritual and moral scorpions and snakes will fill up in the boy's mind and the boy's heart. Don't we see it on the college campus? So there you see girls also won't be served. But that's the influence of the boys. So this is the reason as to why the Torah exempted women from its special mangone, but not men. Not because women are inferior, not because women are at home from its special mangone. Rabbi Tam says in Rambam Paskins that when a woman is in kind of special mangone, if a woman puts on tefillin, or if a woman puts on tzitzit, or if a woman sits in the sukkah, if a woman hears the shofar, she says a broche. And even the Rambam who says that he does not say a broche is because the Rambam holds that the broche is only, you are only required when there is a mitzvah chiyuvis, not when there is a mitzvah chiyuvis. But all the shenim agree that a woman, even though she's tour from mitzvah zman gome, but if she's mikayim in mitzvah zman gome, she gets schar, she has a kima mitzvah. If she, the Rambam says, isha shalom lo teiro, yesh lo schar. But the Torah required boys to be mikayim at every change occasion of time, a certain mitzvah, it is such as man for me, in order that he should not be engulfed by the destroying potential of time. Time itself is the biggest destroyer, because if you don't encompass the boy with mitzvah as man for me, and if you don't constantly inculcate more and more Torah into the heart and the mind of the boy, then he's bound to not be served, because then he'll become bored with time. And when one becomes bored, then he might fall prey to all the spiritual and moral scorpions in the world. The Torah says, he say li body lovely bunny, vinushantem bo, as vishakem, vasisem pesel,
nurse tale. Last is a rabbit and the shemlachi say, when you beget children and children's children, and you become antiquated in the land, and then you become corrupted. So it appears that it's not good to live for a long time in the land. To say we born in the bone, I think it's the most wonderful gift. If one lives a long span of life, he has children, he has children, he begets children, children. It's wonderful. I mean, what? No one will strive for more than that, than to beget children and children's children, and to be antiquated in the land, and become old. What's wrong with that? So the Torah says, Kisei Bonim of Nebonim, V'nesham Teboret V'nishchatem, you become corrupted. Why? It's good to become old, but it's not good to become antiquated. Antiquated means you become bored with the time. So if the Torah had not encompassed boys, men, with the mitzvot as man gomer, and if the Torah had not required men to constantly be engaged in the study of Torah, of constantly hammering into one's mind more and more Torah, then the principle of human nature above the vacuum would start operating. And then he would fall prey to monotony and boredom. Time itself would become his biggest destroyer. Because of that, the Torah requires boys and men to fulfill mitzvahs, shas man gomer, at every changed occasion of time. So the time will not become his biggest destroyer. And because of that, the Torah requires a boy to constantly be involved in the learning of Torah, so that his mind should not be empty, so that his heart should not be idle, so that he should not become bored. So that, because human nature abhors a vacuum. But a woman, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, molded the psyche of women in such a way that she is innately disposed towards good, towards sympathy, towards compassion, towards generosity. That does not mean that every man is a fiend and every woman is an angel. Doesn't mean. On the contrary. A man, on account of the fact that he naturally has an excess of unproductive energy, which if it is not channeled properly, it will make men to run research and fall prey to spiritual and moral scorpions. So, but if man does overpower his own evil instincts, and he does make a determination to be constantly on guard against the evil inclinations of man, so then he elevates himself. A woman, and if he does not, he's not inhuman. He's just not good. When a man is cruel, he's not inhuman. He's not a fiend. A woman, if she, there are women who are very ruthless and good. There are such women. But when a man acts in a cruel way, then he acts in an unethical way. But he does not act necessarily in a human way. When a woman is cruel, then she is not only unethical, she is inhuman. Because it's not in consonance of the natural makeup of a woman to be cruel. The natural makeup of a woman tends to make the woman good, to be inclined towards that is good and generous and noble. And if a woman becomes cruel, it means she changes herself. She overpowers her own better self into something bad that makes her inhuman. I think that's the reason as to why, when in Tanakh, a wicked woman is mentioned. Now, when we speak of a wicked man, how do we call him? Rosh. You have Netzer Rosh. Netzer Rosh, Titus Rosh. But when a wicked woman is referred to in Ach, so she is not referred to as Risha, but Mashas in Tanakh. So Asanyo HaMashas, Asanyo HaMashas, we say, Chazal speak of Izebel HaMashas. Why not Risha? Monashech, if a wicked woman is called Mashas, Asanyo HaMashas, so why shouldn't Nebuchadnezzar be called Nebuchadnezzar HaMashiach? Titus HaMashiach. How is it that Nebuchadnezzar is called Nebuchadnezzar HaRosh? Titus HaRosh. Androgynous HaRosh. Izebel HaMashas. Asalia HaMashas. Mashas means, Mashas is the feminine of Mashiach. Because when a man is wicked, he's not necessarily human. Unless he's very wicked, like Nazi Rachman Litzman. So then he's inhuman. But if a man is just wicked, but not a Nazi, Chas v'Shalom, so he's not inhuman. When a woman is wicked, even if she's not like a Nazi, Chas v'Shalom, she's inhuman. So in order for a woman to be wicked, she has to overpower her better self to change herself from something that is innately good into something that is innately wicked. That's why Asalye is called in Tanakh as Asalye HaMashas, not Masalye HaRosho. She wasn't just a Rosho. Achob was a Rosho, not a Mashiach. Because it's in consonance with men's makeup to be wicked. Literally what Brahma knew of. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo were molded the human, the woman's emotions and the woman's psyche in such a way that she is naturally and innately disposed towards that which is good, towards that which is generous, towards that which is noble. And still, she changed herself. She converted herself from an angelic being into a fiendish being. So that means she was Mashiach herself. She's a Mashas. She's not just a Rosho, but a Mashas. So, that's the reason as to why the Torah encompassed men with this melancholy and required men to constantly hammer into his mind more and more Torah learning. Why? Because men need it. It's indispensable for the spiritual welfare of the man to constantly be encompassed by Mitzvah Shas Mankomeh in order that he shouldn't be engulfed by the biggest destroyer called time, by monotony and boredom. But the woman was exempted. Why? She doesn't need it. Men need Talmud Torah and Mitzvah or Bar Gisabayim Olaylo in order that men shouldn't want this earth. But the woman will not want this earth even without the Mitzvah of Mitzvah Shas Mankomeh and even without the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah or Bar Gisabayim Olaylo. Of course, all the Mitzvah are relevant to her. She is Mariamis to learn just as men. But anything that is not relevant to her behavior, she's not Mariamis. If she wants, she has a Kimanism. Yishe Shalom no Torah. That's the meaning of Shosanik Yatsenim. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom in the beginning of creation, so he bestowed two broches of Amen. One was the broche of Kibush, of conquest. Conquest, of course, that is backed by light, but still physical force. Revolution, Kibush. And the other broche that the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed on Amen was Hazoki. Now, in the eschatology of Judaism, so Kibush does not play any role. In the Mitzvah Mashiach, there will be no Kibush. Lo Yisob Boyel Goy Chered, Velo Yomidoy Nuchamo. So Kibush is a necessary, if you want, you can call it a necessary evil. A Kibush is only, is a necessary entity, Boyelom Hazeh, prior to the Messianic era. But in the Mitzvah Mashiach, no one will exploit the method of Kibush. There won't be any war. The Mitzvah Mashiach will be dedicated completely by all men and all women and all nations, Jew and non-Jews. It will be dedicated to Hazokim. No Kibush, even Kibush that is backed by light, will not exist in the Mitzvah Mashiach. But until the Mitzvah Mashiach, so mankind is not ready for the exclusive exploitation of Hazokim. So men have to exploit Kibush also. Kibush that is backed by light, not Chas v'Sholem, root, naked, physical Kibush. But Kibush that is backed by the highest concepts of light is a necessary entity until the Mesa Mashiach. But in the Mesa Mashiach, it will not be a necessary entity. So in the eschatology of Yadus, only Hadokeh plays an important role, not Kibush. And the woman's psyche was molded, the woman's emotion, the woman's emotional makeup was molded by Akhenaten Baruch Hu in accordance with the eschatology of Yadus. The Rotzeh, the ultimate will which represents, the eschatology of Yadus represents the ultimate objective of Akhenaten Baruch Hu. So the woman, besides the Rotzeh, she was Hamid Yatayim. And this is the meaning of Tolkvedo Vasmela Chakim. Thank you.
Wait.